Hi, this is Adam Burke, and I never, ever listen to the None Taken podcast. Believe me.
And we're live again.
Dude, I have an opening sound for you that I'm guessing you've probably already heard. Don't react if you see the photo. Hopefully you've been under enough of a rock or it's outside of your echo chamber. Let me ask you a question to start with. It's related to the opening sound. The Missouri Secretary of State, or a lady running for it, she made a very provocative campaign ad. And I'll play it for you in a second. But I have a theory about these hot Republicans.
Okay.
So we got the dog killer, Kristi Noem.
Yeah.
We got Grandma Bobart.
Right.
You know what? To some people, we got Marjorie. Who else we got? AO Feats? No, that's not.
That's not.
You heard that. We got a few others. Oh, we got that, I forget her name, but there's another lady with black hair that, she was like a VP potential. It wasn't Noem. It's okay. And now we have this lady coming out of Missouri. You know what? Her name slipped my mind. Who's quite fetching, let's say.
Mm.
So here's my theory that I want to ask you about. They don't come out of nowhere, or like any candidate, they do. And then they gain and grow in popularity.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also pretty. exceptionally so for politics, which is notoriously an ugly sport, right?
Sure, yes.
And I can't help but think that this is happening more on the right than on the left.
Mm-hmm.
With the exception of AO Feats. I'll just say it. Are these MAGA guys just a bunch of simps and they're treating these ladies like political only fans?
I've heard people speculate that some of it has to do with Trump style and the type of people he likes to have in his orbit.
Oh, you mean like all his hot lawyers?
Yeah.
Or press secretaries that just seem to spend way too much time with him. It's kind of odd that his hot lawyer is up in New York celebrating with him.
Sure. There's that. I've seen people speculate that that's part of it, that there is a certain aesthetic that he prefers, and that's the people that tend to rise to the top.
She's not blonde, Alan.
That's true. It's true.
He tends to like people that remind him. She doesn't look like his daughter at all.
Not at all. Not at all.
In America, can be anything you want.
Don't be with me. It's not even audio good. That's how I planned on opening the show. Yeah.
I haven't seen that
before. You haven't seen this before?
No, that's
her audio is so fucking bad. I thought it would come out on here. I'm gonna start the show with this anyways, because that's the way we planned it. We'll play it one more time.
One more time.
In America, you can be anything you want. Just don't be weak and gay.
In America,
stay fucking hard.
Y'all let me in this damn house.
Get your hand off my pants.
One, two, three. She said, just stay hard.
All right, you ready?
Are you waiting to receive my limp penis?
Are you recording?
I saved it, Alan. I made it funny.
Yes.
All right, well, you want to start a show?
Let's start a show.
That podcast is filling your head with garbage.
I got all the ways I just ain't got the mail.
No offense taken there.
Well, it sounds like none taken.
Got all the blues, I just ain't got the train. I got all the ways I just ain't got the mail. Ask him out if she'll say the same thing. I got all the ways I just ain't got the mail.
Boom. Friday headlines roundup edition of None Taken, where every week my good friend Alan wrangles up the headlines from all over the internet and we talk them at you, because I listen to 13 hours of podcast a day and Alan watches 3 hours of cable news, more so now that he's unemployed. And now, oh wait, so you don't have to. And now, get ready to take the sledgehammer to the culture war echo chambers.
So, another Friday is upon us. What'll you be doing, Smithers? Something gay, no doubt.
What? What?
You know, lighthearted, fancy-free. Mothers, lock up your daughters. Smithers is on the town.
Exactly, sir.
Exactly, sir. I'm going to steal a line from Alan. Weekend is here. Grab a can of beer. I got a second one loaded up right behind that in case we run out of all of this. Yeah. I got the biggest bottle of Jim Beam you've ever seen. We are here to do a show. And if you want to do a show with us, you can join us here on the Patreon. Join the Patreon. $3 a month, $7 a month. No, $9 or $18 a month. Pick your poison. You get live access to all of our videos, the entire library, including pre-shows that do not come out onto the audio file. We also put an extended audio file version of the show up there. If you're one of those people that just likes to listen, that's how I am. I don't like to watch. Go over to nonetaken.com to join the party in that way. And Alan will fill you in on other options you can do if you like.
Nontakenpod.com. All of our links are there, including the Patreon. You can also hit our merch store there. You can get some cool Culture War veteran shirts. Although, if you sign up at the premium tier on our Patreon, Dustin will send you one of those. You just have to DM him.
Got to DM
him. Let him know. All the stuff's there. Nontakenpod.com. Get the Patreon. All of our RSS feeds are there. And check it out. Also, don't forget, support the people that support us. SlickitsDigital.com for all your SEO and marketing needs.
Oh, Slicky D.
SlickitsDigital.com. What is up, everybody? Happy Friday. Welcome to the show. The weekend is here. Dustin already said it.
But let's finish that one. My second beer.
Hell yeah. Sierra Nevada, it looks like.
Yeah, got green cans. Green cans on the ceiling. No, that's green snakes.
Good old faithful.
Yep.
Good old faithful. Can't go wrong with a Sierra Nevada. Pale ale. So we got some headlines to talk at you. Shall we begin?
Mm-hmm.
President Biden and former President Trump agreed more specifically to a June 27th CNN debate and a September 10th ABC debate. Independent candidate RFK Jr. accused the major parties of trying to exclude him, but said he will meet.
They're not trying to exclude you.
They are.
Yeah, it's welcome to being third. Like, this would bug me more if I wasn't a libertarian in the past and looked at them meeting the threshold to be on the ballot in all 50 states. This guy's in,
which,
like,
he has not.
Which he is, yeah, not. Yeah, exactly. Right. So it's like, no, like, I'm not listening to you. Sorry, brainworms.
They even caught people doing shady stuff trying to get him on the ballot in New York. Which we talked about.
Yeah, and the one that wasn't shady is like, okay, well, the threshold seems to be awfully low in Michigan. Like, right. So, yeah, and you know, right. I don't know. I still would vote for the brainworm of both of those guys.
I was a little bit surprised that both of the candidates agreed to this. There'd been a lot of back and forth about whether or not there would be debates. Nobody wanted to go through the normal course of the three debates handled by the presidential debate, whatever.
Well, they dissolved that in the last 4 years. Yeah.
Right, well... Yeah. I think the RNC was the first to be like, no, yeah, we don't want to participate in that.
Right.
And then the other side said the same. So I was a little bit surprised. I mean, it certainly is a risk sticking Biden out there.
Trump in a room without a crowd.
That's going to be very interesting.
Trump where the moderator can mute his microphone, actually where they are muting your microphone when it isn't your turn to talk.
Yes.
Trump's going to get really frustrated in that format.
That format is going to be very interesting, especially because Trump feeds so much off the crowd.
Well, and what happens when Biden gets frustrated? He says things like, shut up, man. And people are still saying that. Like, you know, yeah, Trump can yap, 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 yap. And then Biden says one old man thing when he gets frustrated and annoyed with you, and it still lives on.
Right.
I can't believe I'm touting that.
Corn pop. Yeah, so I'm actually very much looking forward to these debates. That style is going to be really interesting to watch.
It
might be the Trump killer. It might be the
thing. I don't see any plus side for him. I see potential.
He's doing it.
I see a potential for something bad happening to Biden, but I see all upside for Biden. Like, I really do.
I agree for the most part. I'm actually surprised.
Give him a B12 shot like they did before the State of the Union.
Yeah.
Well, because Biden's fine if you stick to the fucking points and ask him a direct question, right? And when's Trump not good? What I just said. Like, Trump can't stick to the point. Exactly. And if he starts saying, and this guy, you know, he's 10% for the big guy, child molester, and blah, blah, blah. It's like, that doesn't work. Like, it works for your rallies, you know? And it doesn't work for your rallies in New Jersey.
It definitely doesn't. And you think about, like, the CNN town hall that he had where there were clearly a number of MAGA supporters in the crowd. He's not going to have any of that kind of support here.
And always remember, it's like 15% if they're lucky. You know,
right,
it's a small group ruining it for everybody. They're cheering.
I can see him falling flat without the audience.
I do too. Yeah.
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 Yeah. So that'll be interesting.
And not only that, I mean, this is the guy that keeps calling him Obama and, you know,
right.
Yeah. I mean, when that happens in that environment, I don't think that's going to go well.
And
Biden's going to stutter and Biden's going to, you know, say the wrong year or something like that, but it's all going to be excusable. And I think at the end of the day, you're going to leave with whatever your incoming bias was. But I feel like at the end of the day, if you look at it objectively, you'll be like, okay, one of these guys, neither of them are fit to be president. I can't even finish.
I mean, it is a tightrope without a net, though. So that's going to be the fun part to watch. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, all right, let's move on.
Podcast. President Biden asserted executive privilege over the audio of his interview over classified documents with Special Counsel Herr as House Republicans consider holding Attorney General Garland in contempt for refusing to release the audio. We talked about a little of this on our secret show. I think that's a bad take. I think that. It's important for the public to hear those things. We've already heard it reported on. So it'd be one thing if we didn't know about it, but if we know about it and you're withholding information, I think that's bad.
Well, I mean, so they already have released the transcripts. So we know what was said in the exchanges.
They just want to capture the dead air.
I mean, the idea is, they want to release clips from it, which would show dead air or would show him being confused, not being able to remember somebody's name
or whatever. I try not to upload the podcast with a bunch of dead air, but it fucking happens every week. You
it
know?
Happens. Yeah. It happens. So yeah, I can kind of see where you're coming from as far as it not being a very good look, especially considering the immunity stuff that we're dealing with on the Trump side.
But in counter to my argument, it's not like the reporting hasn't been done and we haven't heard what was said there. Exploiting the dead air, is that really context that makes a difference? I don't know.
No, it's a stunt, I think. Okay. For sure.
I expect there to be a lot of dead air. I expect, you know, Joe Biden talking to a guy on a recording for the recording to be used for the purposes of filling out a report, not being disseminated to the public. I think we've seen that in the hands of your opponents is not going to be exploited. I think that's definitely perfect for that. So, yeah.
We've seen audio and video of Trump in similar sorts of situations that was released, and you see him struggling.
Yep.
You see him. So it's not like
taking 45 minutes to a 3-minute video.
Right. All right. The CDC reported 107,500 fatal drug overdoses in the U.S. last year.
Is that good?
It's marking a 3% drop from 2022 and the first decline since the pandemic.
Just because of the
Narcan?
Yeah.
It's interesting because it seems like a lot of this, the fentanyl...
15% drop in Oregon. More than 50%.
You can see that it's almost come as like a wave from the East Coast through the West. So the biggest drops were like in Indiana, Nebraska, Kansas, and Maine. They dropped over 15%. Alaska, Oregon, and Washington increased over 27%. So it feels like that fentanyl wave is cresting on the West Coast.
Well, that's a bad argument because Narcan was available in Oregon.
Right. And there was a lot done to try and create harm reduction.
But decriminalization also was there. So you could say, and they didn't create the harm reduction side of it. We talked about that recently.
We talked about it. Yeah. So I guess overall a good sign. However, it feels like, you know, China keeps pumping that fentanyl into the U.S. I still see people on the streets clearly, you know, on something, whether it's fentanyl or trank or whatever the hell it is. So it's still out there. 107,000 people is so many people. Like, that's crazy to think that many people died in a year just based on drug overdoses.
Right. Like when we hit 100K with COVID, it was a New York Times headline, right? And we're like, hey, it's good news. It's only 107.5 this year.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, it was like 3,000 people, 4,000 people's lives were saved. That's the difference in 3%, right? Which is...
It's not nothing, but
as a percentage of that,
essentially a drop in the bucket. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Three drops.
I mean, hopefully the trend line continues in that direction. That would be the ideal.
Well, this is an interesting story. Slovakian Prime Minister, is it Fico? It's like a CZ sound. Fico?
Yeah.
Fico. Almost like a T in there as well.
Right.
F-I-C-O. not Fico. Slovakian not Fico. Prime Minister Fico is in stable. As of this morning, stable but very serious condition after an assassination attempt. Officials described the shooting as politically motivated and said the suspect acted alone. So here's a little bit of background on this guy. He is a populist. He's represented views that were very pro-Russian, and then he's backed off of them as that became less popular. Although much of the reasons why those views became less popular specifically in Slovakia is because they have an arms industry, and their arms industry really wanted to make money selling arms to Ukraine. So not necessarily like his views aren't working within the population. So it's not quite like Poland, although Poland's an interesting mix too, but just in relation to their relation to Russia. This man has been the prime minister before
multiple times
in terms with gaps in between, but going back to like 2006 or the 2000s. Yeah. And he has kind of always been an edgelord, I would say. Right.
Well, but he shifted somewhat. He was more left at one point.
And he only shifted recently. Right. So when you've heard him described as shifted, the reason they say he's shifted is because he's softened on the Ukraine position only in the way I described, which was so that they can sell more munitions and arms to Ukraine. Right. He didn't say
generally
like
to be pro Putin.
Yes. Yes. He is an example of, hey, it doesn't cost that much to invest in candidates in other countries to be successful if you want to run a foreign influence campaign, Marjorie.
Mm-hmm. And he's also been a fan of Viktor Orban in Hungary.
Oh, he wants them to have a, so one of the things in Hungary is they control the media. Viktor Orban got rid of the privatized media. Yep. Now, you might be able to point at it on paper and say, these are privatized companies. They are controlled by the state, and they basically, they are state media.
It's media.
It's the way you get around that without it looking bad on paper, which, mm-hmm. you know, in a history book is going to say what I just said the first time. Stop fucking adding me when I say that shit wrong. this guy, Pizzo, he had accusations of, I think, did he kill a reporter didn't a reporter die like reporting on him on corruption charges with him? And then the corruption charges also got, I could be wrong about the reporter dying. That's important.
I don't know that story. Okay, right.
Jamie looked that shit up. this part is true. The charges against him got dropped when he had a favorable prosecutor.
Interesting.
You know, so, just not a liberal by the classical liberal definition, the, you know, freedoms that we appreciate. Not a good guy. Does not deserve to be shot. Also, my money's on this being FSB agents that shot him to try to make it look like it was Ukrainians, because this is going to rile up his base in Slovakia.
Interesting.
Okay, I'm done.
So the man who shot him was a 71-year-old man. He shot him 5 times at close range.
Yeah, I hit him in the gut and the hand.
Yeah, his security seems...
5 times, close range. What is he, Harry from Dumb and Dumber? Harry, you're alive! And a horrible shot!
His security seemed unprepared for the task of securing.
Yeah, that video did not look good, huh?
Did not look good, no. So his motivation seemed to be political, and they are saying at the moment that he did act alone. It wasn't, any sort of...
Oh, so it wouldn't have been an expensive investment for a foreign country to motivate him to act.
I mean, if it were the FSB, I'm sure he could have been bought pretty cheap.
I'm just saying. Like,
just saying.
I guess this will be the time where we go, lone gunman. Got it. Moving on. Yeah.
So, but I guess he's stable at this point. So they think he's probably going to pull through. Slovakia is a part of Europe, right? I mean, like, it's not like...
So if this proves to be FSB, is that what you're saying?
No, I'm just saying that we've had a prime minister shot an assassination attempt in a European...
You're saying these aren't some stupid Georgians, like, acting crazy.
I'm saying this headline should be more shocking than everybody seems to be making it out to be.
Well, he survived. The guy's not a sympathetic character.
Sure.
And it's a complex story to tell
in another
country.
I get that, but this is a head of a European country.
I agree with you.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. That's not.
Yeah, but then also nothing. It's like it's Slovakia, not Slovenia. Like, who knows what's what anymore, you know? Sure. What is happening?
Dog's going crazy.
They don't like being neutral on Slavs suffering, so.
The U.S. finished building a temporary floating pier off the Gazan coast to facilitate humanitarian aid.
That's what they're calling
it. Yeah. So this was, they started this 2 months ago. We talked about it on the show. The problem that all these aid organizations are saying now is, look, this is great. It's not ideal. We can do a lot better over land than through water.
I should go in through Rafah Gate.
The problem is that once the stuff gets here, there's no fuel for us to distribute it.
What's that mean? Huge, once it's on the pier, they don't have a way of bringing it on shore? Yes. Well, once it's on shore, they don't have
gas. Once it's on the shore, they don't have a way to distribute it. They can't put it on a truck and take it anywhere because...
Oh. Well, tell them to walk to the fucking beach.
So they've built a...
what else do they have to do? Like, everything's been blown up. They don't have to go to work. Like, just go get food.
They've built a storage facility on the beach. They've been very clear that, like, U.S. personnel won't be on the Gazan side. So they're not supposed to be in harm's way.
And that's so that Americans don't die and get us drawn in and escalated, right?
Right, yeah. Right. So the UN's supposed to be coordinating, distributing this aid and other NGOs. But as I said, the fuel thing is a huge problem. It took them 2 months to build this fucking thing. So the way it's working is...
So, like, I get that seems both quick and very slowly to me, right?
It seems slow to me. So the way it works is they take the shipments from Cyprus. They're inspected there and to make sure there's not like weapons and shit in there. Then they bring it to this barge and they offload it. And then they use smaller boats to take it from the barge to the pier and then the pier to the fucking warehouse. It's a whole thing.
It feels like there's at least one extra step there, right?
It seems too much. And even these aid organizations are like, look, if you just let us get aid through, you know, like Egypt through the gate or whatever, it'd be way easier. This is fine, but we could do it. You know,
and it costs like efficient. Millions of dollars. Like, yeah.
But you know, I guess it's something. It's something.
Something-ism strikes again. Why don't we drop some more boxes? Haven't we killed like 21 of them already? Just dropping shit out of the
dropping
air.
Dropping shit. Yeah. I don't know the number, but
I think it's 21. Yeah.
I'll take it.
You'll take it. You believe my number.
I believe you. Okay. Yes, I believe
sounded
yes.
Very callous of you. Russian President Putin met with President Xi while on a state visit to China in a show of unity between the nations amid tensions with the West.
So they've already come out and said that they have the, what is it, the no limit? No limit records?
Ain't no limits to this.
Relationship. They've backed off a little bit on that terminology, but they
are
still...
Yeah, but they like reinstated it, right? Or that was a goal.
Sort of. Yeah, they didn't exactly use that verbiage, but essentially...
That's erosion.
Yeah, but they said still, you know, we support each other and, you know, we're besties, all good.
That doesn't sound good. Now, this is his first state visit since getting reelected, which doesn't really matter because he was already president, but it does send a message that you're the first person I go once I've been reappointed, I say non-sarcastically. They also gave Russia promises that they're not going to invade Upper Manchuria or whatever, right? Like, didn't they say, like, am I saying the right region? There's a part of Russia that like China very much wants back and they're like, hey, no limits, you know, tanks and shit, you know, all the late 90s.
I think that was the land that was given away in the Peking Treaty.
Oh, I was talking about no limits for the record label.
I understand.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about the land.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Peking duck. Sure. You understood that they got those assurances like, hey, we're not going to invade your land anymore.
Yeah,
it's a weird thing to say to an ally, right? Like, just to be sure, you're not going to do to us what we're doing to Ukraine, right? Like,
right. Yeah. It's funny. So that area is that book I read, The Tiger, that I really liked.
The Tiger or The Three Dangerous Men?
No, The Tiger.
Okay.
That it takes place in that area.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Yeah. In fact, the author of that book surmises that had that treaty not been signed and that area not been handed over to Russia, that those tigers would be extinct based on the Chinese market.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Yeah. Interesting stuff.
Yeah.
All right. President Zelensky postponed all upcoming foreign trips as Russia advances in Ukraine's Kharkiv region.
Cancel Christmas.
Meanwhile, Secretary of State Blinken said the U.S. will send Ukraine another $2 billion in military financing. We just had a good conversation with Cody about some of that stuff. Go check that out over at Foxhole. And I don't really have a lot more to say about that.
Yeah, not much more to say. Did you see Blinken when he was in Kyiv playing Keep on Rocking in the Free World, doing a fucking 50-year-old Neil Young song? So, two thoughts. One, just the gall of going over there being like, we're going to help. I'm here to help. By the way, this
play
is
my guitar.
Yeah, I'm going to go play a guitar in Kyiv at a nightclub while guys are dying hundreds of miles out east, right? Like, just not a good look. I promised you two things, and I got this one from a listener. Tucks his shirt into his jeans.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Just
that's a bad
that's
look.
That's almost a worse look, right?
Yeah, and he's supposed to be trying to be cool, man.
Never.
Like, I can play the guitar.
Abe Lincoln. Yeah, yeah. Youth group pastor. It gives big youth group pastor vibes. I say
Trump
that
tucking
lot,
his polos.
He looks like a Caleb, right? He looks like a guy yeah, named Caleb when he does that.
He does.
So
Trump
many Calebs.
His polos in always bothered me too.
Trump tucks in his polos. Yeah.
When he's golfing, it's like, dude, look at that stomach.
Yeah, I know. Does it make the stomach look worse or better?
It's worse.
Worse. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know because I'm so fit. You'll never forget when I moved out here, Brido was like, you're going to be such a cool fat guy, because I kept sending him pictures of me eating barbecue, and he's so right. Oh my God. I'm like, I tried on my suit for my wedding and I was like, oh, I could just suck in my gut for, you know, a couple of hours. It's fine.
That's
I didn't
funny.
Notice it. Like, you know, it all right. snuck up,
sneaks
on,
up
me.
On you.
Yeah. Yeah. And then for no reason, your back hurts and you're like, oh, it's right. Cause my muscles all deteriorated and turned to fat.
Those Nashville chicken sandwiches are you know, starting to accumulate.
Yep, and ribs and grits. I had grits. I got a breakfast burrito today, and they happen to have grits, so I was like, give me some of them cheese grits too.
Oh, hell yeah.
Breakfast
dude.
Burrito and cheese grits. I mean, they don't not go together, but you don't think of it, you know?
You can hardly get good grits out here.
No. Yeah. No,
it just doesn't. That's not a thing.
This
I got it once.
Natasha
it
makes
rare.
Good grits, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a special skill.
Yeah.
I have a special set of skills.
Yes. Natasha has a very particular set of skills. I'll tell you about maybe a third of them. Well, do you want to go on?
Yes. You're up.
I swear, Europe. The Biden administration informed Congress that it is advancing $1 billion arms package for Israel days after pausing. Now, this is important. A separate package of 3,500 bombs over concern of use in densely populated areas. So here's the breakdown on that. They're like, hey, if we give you these specific bombs, they're the 2,000-pound and 500-pound bombs. Initially, that's actually worth splitting hairs on. Initially, the U.S. was like, yeah, we have this aid package. Part of it includes this. We don't want you to have these bombs because we see what you're about to go do in Rafah, and we don't want to send the message that we just gave you the bombs that you're now destroying city blocks with. And then the updated message only mentioned the 2,000-pound bombs. So, like, if you keep it to 500, but neither here nor there necessarily on that, because the context of this is there was a $1 billion arms package for Israel was announced and confirmed. That is separate from the 2,000-pound bombs that have been paused. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make anything look good. If anything, the attempted message that they did successfully get out into the media is we don't like what they're about to do in Rafah, and we stopped them from having this type of bomb that's going to do this. I don't, it seems to be jury's out on whether that's going to land with the people that consume the news. I don't really put much into that because I think Israel's going to do just fine killing a bunch of people there
with things
we already gave them, you know, right. And the other stuff. So it's like, yeah, they'll just use incendiary bombs instead of,
I find it interesting that when the initial pause was announced,
I was thinking
a lot of the reaction in the media was like, oh, this is Biden, you know, finally saying, I'm going to put my foot down. I've had enough.
So that's what I was saying. They got a success with that.
Right. And now that this has happened, I don't see the media talking about it at all.
Like, talking about the 2,000-pound bomb or the
about the $1 billion.
Nobody's mentioning
package.
The billion, nobody's, right? Yeah. Yeah. It sort of puts them back on their heels, and then it takes a lot of momentum to get them outraged again, right?
Right.
Yeah. And
in related news,
there are professionals at finessing that, right? The politicians.
Sure. In related news, the State Department report to Congress said that Israeli assurances about adhering to the terms of U.S. weapons agreements are credible and reliable, but also said it is reasonable to assess that Israel has violated international law using U.S. sent arms.
What the fuck does that mean?
So essentially, the report, which is by Blinken or Blinken's
office. They said Israel has promised that they'll adhere to this, but it's reasonable to assess,
based on what we know that's happened,
that they're lying.
Well, that at least likely
That they're lying.
That they're lying.
Or that they're saying in the future they'll tell the truth.
Something like that, yes. I mean, it's just... Yeah, do we send them stuff and they promise not to do bad things with it? Sure. And then, but of course, you know, it's not possible that they haven't at least done a few bad things with the stuff we sent them, essentially is what the report says, which is both sidesism at its worst, I guess.
I don't think it is. I think it's actually pretty specifically saying, here's our assessment. Like, right. we're saying, I don't think you should believe them, but I don't want to put that down on paper. Because they're our greatest ally in the region, you know?
Indeed, in the Middle East.
Do you feel like MAGA Republicans look at Joe Biden? No, sorry, non-MAGA Republicans, and I didn't mean to say Biden. Let me try this again. Do you think that like traditional conservatives look at Donald Trump as the way the U.S. looks at Israel in the Middle East? Like, you do everything wrong, but you're the only one in the region that I can like say that does politics the way we like. So we're your ally until you're gone and you change your ways, right?
It's an interesting analogy. I could see it.
Yeah.
I could see it.
I felt like I wasn't going to be able to land that. So, okay.
Speaking of landing things.
Oh, no. Oh, no. The Justice Department said Boeing violated a 2021 settlement shielding the firm from a criminal prosecution over two deadly 737 MAX crashes in 2018 and 2019. They say 2018 and 2019, but they were like real close to the line between 2018 and 2019. Those stories were real close to each other.
Real close. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so essentially,
what does that mean? They violated the settlement?
Yeah.
They promised not to like not secure their doors anymore or what? They said they were going to train their pilots, right?
Yeah, and they were going to have certain like fraud prevention measures in place.
Fraud protection.
And that's not the case.
Wait, what do you mean? Hold on. What do you mean? This isn't like stock buybacks. This is frauds.
Fraud. Yeah. So
put you on the spot there, didn't I?
The Justice Department has to decide whether to file charges. There was a $2.5 billion settlement that was reached in 2021. To avoid prosecution on a single charge of fraud. Misleading federal regulators who approved the plane. Boeing blamed the deception on two relatively low-level employees and paid the fine and said, we're not going to do that anymore. But the processes that were supposed to be put in place to prevent that from happening again apparently were not followed. And so now they're saying you broke that agreement. And now
Unbelievable. Wow.
They have to decide whether or not to charge them with it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
How about that?
Yeah. Huh.
Isn't that something? Huh. Yeah.
Well, you know what? I bet the one thing they are doing, though, is properly training their pilots on their new software.
And they're not even, they're clearly not using old shitty parts to repair their planes.
No.
They wouldn't do that.
Yeah, they've learned that. And they don't have a hitman killing all their whistleblowers. 10 more whistleblowers came out. They're like, oh my God, we have only so many windows and doorknobs. Like, God. All right. Your turn. No, my turn.
Was my turn. President Biden raised tariffs on a range of Chinese imports, citing unfair Chinese trade practices, including steel, computer chips, solar cells, and a 102% tariff on electric vehicles.
Why 2%?
What they did is it was a factor of what the old tariff was. So it was 5X and it came to 102. And so most of these tariffs have been raised.
Why was it at 20.5? Okay, never mind.
The electric vehicles one is the big one. And Biden saying that it's essentially making it difficult for American electric car manufacturers to compete with the way that China's flooding the market. And so that's why he's saying these tariffs are necessary. So maybe Elon got on the phone and said, hey, man, my Tesla's not doing so well.
That's not what's happening. Like, no, it is the first thing you said. It's protectionism. It's the everything that was wrong with Trump trying to do this too. You know, this is the effects of this, if this works out, Mm-hmm. Sure, I understand the incentive. We want to protect American jobs. We want to, you know, we want more Americans to be able to have jobs in these sectors. We want these vehicles to be made in America. We don't want to keep importing them from, especially of all places, a place like China. That said, like, I don't know if you think that's how that's going to work out. Sounds a lot like people are going to get taxed because
the consumer that has to pay for it. Right. Although China is struggling right now because their domestic consumer demand is falling.
They were expecting to create an economy where their own domestic side was buying these products.
And it's not.
And they're, it's not. So they're going back to so they were, all of these products were made with the intention of selling many of them domestically. That's not happening. So they're flooding the markets. But prior to that, all China ever does is flood foreign markets.
Right.
So it's like their original plan plus the oops, we can't sell all of these plan is causing effects on global markets.
Another
I can be persuaded to understand a value in tariffs in that way, in that specific environment. Do I think that the Biden administration is that like dialed in? I don't.
Another complaint that was brought up in this was the China stealing IP.
IP freely.
from American manufacturers and just, you know, using that R&D investment from the American side without paying for it. So that's also been a problem.
Well, maybe you don't build a factory in another country and give them all the blueprints and tell them not to steal it. Like I also will piss everyone off when I say things like, I don't really believe in IP. I think you need to make a superior product and make the product. And then when you create something and that idea is out in the world, you like by natural definition that exists. You don't own that. You don't get to own things like that. It's fun to, and you get to ensure that you profit, but that's just not how that works. Turns out you have to be both creative and really good at making people want to buy what you make to be profitable in that way. And that's hard to do. And, we live in an economy based off of, IP. And I would also argue that a lot of the augmentations we see in our markets have to do with the fact that we protect drug companies and insurance companies, not insurance companies, not a good example, but drug companies for all of their R&D. So they're incentivized to keep making that. I get all that. I'm just saying you don't get to conserve knowledge that's been discovered. It's only a matter of time. And if you artificially slow down that matter of time and that dissemination of that knowledge, one, I think that's bad for humanity. Two, you augment the natural state of how that disseminates. And that might be uncomfortable at times, but like you just have to be good at selling what you created.
Yeah, I mean, so there are, I mean, you brought up the drug industry, the pharmaceutical industry. Certainly, I mean, we incentivize those companies to invest massive amounts of money in R&D to come up with these new medicines because they can then make a profit on them. Now, the way it works in the U.S. is they're only allowed to hold that exclusive patent for so many number of years, and then it goes to the ability to be made generically.
Maybe you keep it that way, but you just don't go make it in China and get mad at China for stealing the blueprint. Like,
yeah. I mean, when Apple opens a factory in China to make, you know,
and you don't have to make a law for that. You just have to accept the fact that you built a factory in China. You don't get to tell them not to make that. Like
Well, and when they build a factory to make AirPods in China, and then suddenly, you know, China floods Amazon with 800 different versions of the same thing that they make for $30.
That's what should happen is what I'm saying.
That happens.
And you should be unhappy with their low quality because they don't know what they're making. They're mimicking something, you know, and you should go buy it from Apple and they should be making that in Texas somewhere or Mexico, you know?
Yeah. All right. So we have some
headlines. And it should cost twice as much. Fine. Like, okay, I'm done.
Well, and also, if you are a successful company, you build a brand that people are loyal to.
That's what I'm talking
about.
Yeah.
And they'll
buy your stuff. That's the other half of it. You don't get to just be like the government. So then what comes from that? The government protects you in that way and it de-incentivizes you from continuing to be good at the things you make. You just have to keep investing and innovating because you know whatever the new thing you make. And all that does is churn consumerism and create more waste.
Sure. But I mean, so a company like Apple can create you know, an AirPods they can sell for $200 or however much they cost, and people will buy them because they trust Apple to have a good product and they've used them successfully before. And so they're not going to buy the $30 knockoff on Amazon.
Or they look into how China was able to make a $30 version and maybe theirs costs $120 in a year.
Sure. Yeah. There's that too. Yeah. There's that too. All right. So we have some econ headlines. I don't need to go into each. I can probably just hit all these real quick.
You.
CPI rose 3.4% in April, in line with expectations, still ahead of the Fed's 2% target rate.
That's not good. You said that all positively.
Actually, so the markets are taking this pretty well, as I'll get to. PPI rose 0.5% in April on a monthly basis, above estimates of 0.3. Wholesale inflation index is up 2.2. S&P 500, NASDAQ, and Dow all closed at record highs after favorable inflation data. So the markets are taking this as better
news. How is 3.4% on top of 3.4% last year on top of 9% the year before good news?
I agree with you as a consumer. That doesn't seem like good news.
No, it sounds like I made less money now. Or my money is more worthless now.
Did you listen to The Economist? I think it was yesterday, talking about inflation and how.
Yeah, it was so bad. I wanted to clip it, but it was too much to clip. He was like, it's really good news. And actually, the wealthy suffer more because they lose more money. It's like that the money means nothing to them. Is that like. Can you say it better?
Pretty much. Yeah, no, they were like, you know, it's weird because economists think that, you know, inflation, you know, this is a good thing. But people just feel like they have less spending power and, you know, their money doesn't go as far as like, well, yeah.
I wonder why they think that.
That's so weird. Yeah, but their whole point is like, well, actually,
see, when you start with, well, actually, and say you're an economist, it's just like, right. I'm on board with Pol Pot. Like, I get it
now.
Oh,
no.
I get it now. These intellectuals. Was it Pol Pot? Yeah, I got that right.
It was, yeah. All these fucking nerds with glasses. Yeah. Yeah, no. So they're like, well, you have your debt. And so now your debt, the actual cost of your debt goes down because it's worth less because the dollar's worth less.
Yeah. So who has debt? The insanely wealthy. What are you fucking talking about? We have debt. We have credit card debt. We got medical debt. We got student loan debt. I don't have like, ooh, I took out a giant loan to finance my lifestyle debt.
And
fuck you. That is so rude.
The billions of dollars of stocks I have in my back pocket I don't have to pay taxes on.
It's like he did was invert the argument for why Trump's debt doesn't matter. Right?
Right.
He took that and said, but like that's true. The first part's true. Not your bullshit about how turns out the loan you have. Hey, man, I know you owe in the bank like $8,000, but like it's really worth less now. So if you can manage to get $8,000, it's like, I don't even know how to say it. Yeah. You get $6,000 now. That's at $8,000 worth then. I don't even know. Yeah. I don't even know because it's not a realistic moment. You know what? You know what is real? The amount of dollars that I use now to pay off my mortgage are worth less, but my mortgage number is the same. So I think that's the way debt fucking works.
You know what? On that note, I think we can move on.
I'm going to chunk some fucking box wine.
There you go. Go for it. In other news, so we have a couple of headlines here. You added this one. This is a Substack. You said the headline surprised you, which was interesting. And I couldn't read all of it because it's a Substack and I'm not a subscriber.
Yeah, it's a headline. I don't expect it to be. If you can substantiate the headline, I'm all earballs.
George Washington warned against a passionate attachment to Israel.
So I don't know when was George Washington alive?
Yeah, Israel didn't.
There was a whole skit from the West Wing about this where he wanted to get a map from 1708 and post it in the hall. People were like, it doesn't have Israel on it. And it's like,
because Israel wouldn't exist.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
they're like, no, people would be offended by that. Yeah, he's like, yeah. Well, why? I remember that. Yeah. Leo McGarry was like, no, you can't.
And that lady that was
on.
No,
you cannot do that, Donald.
No, you can't. Wait, I got a clip from when you can't say things.
Oh, no, you can't say that.
I want to play John Prine. It's just me.
Yeah, no, I'm here for it. I'm here for it. Okay, so essentially the argument is that Washington's foreign policy was like, look, we can't get too tied up in foreign policy and miss what might be best for domestic policies. So to get too caught up in another country's affairs means that we may act in ways that are not in our best interest,
yeah,
essentially.
That's sound. Yeah. Oh, so it was a good point.
It was a good
point. Oh, okay. Well, it was
a shocking
headline.
Yeah. I did not expect.
Good job. Got me. BuzzFeed.
We got one more. This is from the New York Times. I put this in here. at Justice Alito's house, a Stop the Steal symbol on display.
What?
So, yeah, this was dropped today. I haven't seen
somebody
much...
put it there?
No. I haven't seen much about it in the press yet, but I'm sure it's going to blow up. So there are pictures of
Justice Alito. That's the Supreme Court judge, right?
Yes, Supreme Court judge.
I'm just making sure we're talking about that Justice
Alito. He had the U.S. flag displayed upside down.
Come on. This is real?
This is real. Which was...
Wait. This man has been deemed to be one of the 12 people that gets to decide morality for the country.
Yeah.
And his judgment is like impeccable. And he was like, you know what? Time to make a statement. This has to be, this is regarding Trump's trial, right?
So this happened back in January of 2022.
Oh, so come on. Get out of here with all the New York Times. You fucking...
After Jan 6th. Okay. So there are pictures and neighbors who come forward to talk about it.
Did they wait to move or what?
No. And so apparently, I wasn't aware of this, but apparently at that time, a lot of MAGA supporters who believed the election was stolen, that was a way for them to demonstrate their belief in that, to turn their flag upside down.
Yes.
Now, Alito's statement is that his wife did it. And
She's been hanging out with Jeannie or Jenny.
Jenny.
Jenny Thomas. Jenny?
His wife was involved in some sort of verbal altercation with a neighbor who had an anti-Trump sign in their yard, which apparently contained some sort of foul language. And so there had been.
So in response, she turned the American flag upside down. There's no like, oops, one thing led to another.
That's the story. That's the story. That's the whole fucking story. And this
man's is like when people cheat and they're like, I just got two steps to why it was okay and we'll fill in the rest on the fly. And it's like, no. What?
Yeah. Unclear how long it remained like that, but neighbors say many days and there are photos of it.
So I was in an argument with my neighbor and they said something bad about Donald Trump. Next thing you knew, my flag was upside down.
Yes. Yes. That's the story. And the neighbors don't want to.
And they had to stop the steel yard sign.
No, they didn't have a Stop the Steal yard sign.
The flag upside down is the Stop the Steal symbol.
It's a symbol. Yeah.
Catchy headline. There's some New York Times shenanigans there, but
I think
it's good enough.
We should expect more from our Supreme Court justices.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's where I started with, right? Like you're supposed to be the pinnacle of judgment.
Yeah. Right.
It's in the name.
Right. You're supposed to be ethical. You're supposed to be in the middle center. I mean, that's the whole point.
I mean, how are you supposed to be a Supreme Court justice when you can't control your uppity wife, you know? You got to have a stronger hand than that, you know? He's got
Where's your pimp hand, Alito? Come on, man. What the fuck?
That was in Seinfeld where he said, I have no hand. He didn't mean pimp hand, did he?
No. You know, I'm not sure.
George Costanza was talking about his pimp hand? That's kind of fun to think about. George Costanza with a fur coat.
Did he wear a fur coat at one point? No, that's Kramer.
Yeah. Plus, he's just talking about his bottom bitch. Like,
you know, I could see Costanza doing that.
I kind of could too. That guy got way too much trim. Like, just short, bald guy in New York in the 90s, lived at home with his parents. He tucked his shirt into his pants. Oh, everybody on that show did, except Kramer. Kram Dog was fine. And then he ended up saying racial slurs. Probably don't need to. Remember that one episode where he stomped on a Puerto Rican flag and then you can't find it on Netflix anymore?
I do remember that, yes. '90s sitcoms. All right, should we move into Media Diet?
Yeah, what have you been watching?
All right, so I didn't watch anything new, I don't think. In fact, I think I may have already spoken about this movie.
Not new in the name.
Yeah, it's Old Henry. I watched a couple old movies with my dad up there when I was there last week. We really enjoyed watching this one, and we also watched that new Indian one with the assassin,
Monkey Man.
Watched that too. But Old Henry, I know I've already seen it. I don't know if I talked about it on the show before. It's essentially a Western.
When did it come out?
2021, I think.
Oh, okay. Oh, wait, is this with Christian Bale?
Not Christian Bale. I don't remember.
Fat Damon. I'll look up the cast. You talk.
Okay. All right.
What is happening?
Old Henry.
Sorry.
It has a fun twist towards at the end that you kind of don't expect. But it's essentially, you know, it's a gritty.
Oh, Trace Atkins is in it.
Yeah, Trace Atkins is in it.
Oh, I watched
surprising.
That.
Surprising. Yeah, actually, one my
Stephen Dorff. It's a great cast.
It's a really good movie.
Tim Blake Nelson is made to be in old westerns. He's got a face with like just says like you better not have all your teeth. Like
if you like that old western style of movie, you'll enjoy this. This is a lot of fun, kind of gunslinger type.
Farmer takes in an injured man with a satchel of cash. When a posse comes for the money, he must decide who to trust. Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's a good situation. I don't think I've seen this.
It's fun. It's a good movie.
Okay.
I recommend it. All right. Check it out.
Great.
How about you?
And you watched it with Dad?
I did. That's nice. And everybody liked it.
Dude, maybe it's just the age we are, but watching Westerns with Dad.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. It's different, man. It's different.
Like when the remake of True Grit came out, when I left the theater, I remember being like, it feels like I just watched like an old Western with my dad. Like it just, I watched a couple of things this week. We had a very busy weekend. Even on Monday, Natasha's like, I'm having a lot of fun, but I miss just like going home and watching TV with you. Like we haven't watched just a TV show or a movie in a while. We tried to watch a movie Saturday night and she made me stop at two extra bars that had bands every time. And I was like, all right, fine. I guess we're not watching a movie. I'm complaining about not watching a movie on a Saturday night.
That means you're old.
So we started a series on Netflix that is very good. It's called Bodkin.
Okay.
It's, imagine, do you ever listen to true crime?
Yeah.
So imagine if you're listening to a true crime podcast series where there's, you know, 10 episodes or something, like Serial, right?
Yeah. Like Payne Lindsay's stuff.
Okay. But instead of listening to each episode of the movie, and this, they don't implicitly say this, but you start to realize what you're watching is not like a mockumentary where they're with a film crew watching them, but if you could just like be with them and watch it happen, what it is like for the podcaster and the reporter go to a place where a crime happened and find the new mystery that unfolds and get wrapped up in everything, right? Instead of listening to an episode where they say, and then we talked to this person, we got this, and then layering the audio in. Now I say that, and it has to do with the opening scene, so not spoiling anything, the opening scene of the first episode, one of the main characters, the reporter, she is being told that she has to move. She has to go settle down. She needs to go off to like the country somewhere. I think they might be in Ireland. That she has to go to, she has to leave London. And because she, well, I won't spoil it. I almost spoiled it. She had a source on an article that she had released and something happened to that source. So they're like, look, just lay low while the news dies down and go look into this interesting story they have over there. We're going to partner you up with this podcaster from America who has a huge following with true crime. You can kind of do this puff piece with him. Maybe it'll be a big deal. We'll see. And it turns out to be a very interesting story they find there. But then that gets interfered with by the realities of that initial case that she was running from and the realities of what she was running from. It's really good. It's called Bodkin. It's on Netflix and you already pay for Netflix. So watch that and then watch the Pop-Tart movie.
Okay. I will check it out.
We're almost done with Friends. It is so bad. I think that's what I say every time I talk about it. Like the last two seasons, you're just like, you're trying to get to 10. Like, what are you doing? Like everybody was just making money. They were all getting $1 million an episode. It was one of the first shows to do that. So they were like, we got to keep this going. And of course, like by the time they got around to like How I Met Your Mother and all the other shows, where I started paying that people that kind of money. They were like, no, we'll get you a syndication and we'll see how long this fucking lasts. We're
right,
10 years in this bullshit. Yeah. Because the last two seasons are just so bad. Rachel,
I don't think I watched them.
Rachel's dating a guy that she works with that took her job while she was off on maternity leave. And then it turns out they like each other and that gets Ross upset. And the whole time you're like, well, the guy's going to end up saying that he needs you to be happy and be with Ross because he loves you so much. And sure enough, and now we got about a season and a half. So that means they're going to start getting together. Then they'll get a last season for drama and they'll end it with Ross and Rachel make it. I mean, just, I don't know. I haven't paid attention. I watched the first five seasons.
I punched out way before.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I remember it being on the cover of like Us Weekly, you know?
Sure.
was...
I remember watching the last episode just to...
Okay, don't spoil it. In my head, that's when they get married or something. I don't know. That's it. Friends is bad. Okay. I think you have a game for me.
All right, we got a game. Wacky or Cackalacky. You got...
Throw your hands up. Take your shirt off. Twist it around your head like a helicopter. Petey Pablo taught us that.
Hell yeah. So we got three facts here, ostensibly facts. Two are true. One is not.
I get to find the bullshit. I get to find the cackalacky.
Yes. Okay. Yes. No, the wacky.
I have to find the wacky. The cackalacky are true stories about North Cackalacky.
Yes, yes, okay. Yes. All right, so what you got?
Oh, I get to read. I forgot. Yes. I'm not used to this. The first major gold discovery in the United States took place in the Umheri Mountains, where Thrash lives, in 1799, in a mini gold rush, took place during the Depression. Okay, false there. There we go. Problem solved. Oh, 1799. So there was a Depression of 1799? Because it took place during the Depression. That's not 1799.
Well, it could be the first major discovery was 1799, and then later, during the Depression, at the same place.
Okay. Can I read it again?
Sure.
The first major gold rush discovered in the United States took place in the Umheri Mountains. Don't know if I'm saying that right now that I know Thrash lives there. it's not an M. It's upside down M. It's a W.
Uwari.
Uwari. Uwari.
Uwari.
In the Uwari Mountains.
Hey, now.
Uwari. It's either Uwari or IP freely, which was just a passing phrase, but we did have a little thing about it, IP there.
We
IP.
Did.
IP. I don't pee freely if you're watching. Not if you're watching, listeners. I'm not.
We've discussed on the show, yes.
Yes, yeah, exactly. As is famous on Untake. I've got countless advice.
A shy peer. A noted shy peer. A
noted shy pisser, Dustin.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Can I do it again?
Yes.
The first major gold discovery in the United States took place in the Uwari Mountains in 1799, and a mini gold rush took place during the Depression.
Yes.
Okay. Timeline-wise, that does check out. It seems really specific, but I'm sure they're all going to feel that way. All right. The man who invented the modern shipping container, Malcolm McLean, was from Maxton, North Carolina, and invented them in the 50s. I don't remember where he's from, but I remember learning the story about the person that invented that. I think in the Peter Zion book, I think, because he talks about shipping logistics.
Oh,
you know, either that or in the new maps, but I think it was in that because he really gets into shipping logistics.
Yeah, that does sound familiar.
So you got me enough on the fact that I know other surrounding facts to this. Wherever you hid the lie in that one, I'm going to go two is true. An outbreak of the Black Plague, African-American plague, sorry. An outbreak of the Black Plague in Elkin, North Carolina in 1878 wiped out almost the entire town of 700 people in a month and a half and resulted in people in surrounding areas accusing the survivors of devil worship. What the fuck? So we got the first one that involves facts about where he lives.
Mm-hmm.
Say the first one's false and it's a different mountains and he changed it to a place where he lives.
Okay. Final answer.
Well, that makes me nervous. Yes.
Okay. All right. The third one is the wacky.
Damn it. Damn it.
So the first two are.
How do you make something up like that?
It was pretty well done. And I Googled to see, cause he didn't really explain like what was wrong about it, but
about
it wasn't
what?
Like he just about the, that third.
About the plague in Elkin.
Yeah.
So an outbreak of Black Plague in Elkin, North Carolina did not wipe out an entire town.
So as far as I can tell, it's just the timeline is wrong. And there was nothing. So it happened.
It was the
earlier.
1500s. It was right after.
There are some.
You know what? Like turns out there was quite of a bit of a plague in North America shortly after Columbus arrived. Maybe that's what he's talking about.
That's
yeah.
true. And there were no accusations of devil worship, although they always do like to throw that out there.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. Damn it. He got me. You know what? I spent no time on that when I got real excited. Yeah.
He got you. Thrash got you.
That was a good one. You. Damn it.
It was. It was. Well, all right, man. That was a great show.
That was a great show. I'll ask you a question and we'll get out of here,
yeah.
I suppose.
Yeah.
Well, this is going to be exactly an hour. That's kind of weird. Let's talk long enough for the outro song. Okay. Now it'll be slightly over an hour and I can live with that.
Okay.
You know how, so you don't really do vintage shopping, but me and Natasha do. Are you into it at all? Sure.
I mean, I'll pop into an antique store for funsies. Sure.
You at least know like the cyclical nature and like the definition of like past a certain number of years, these things by definition become vintage. So in the '90s, we'd see things in the '70s become vintage and we were kids and we heard our parents talking about how weird it was that things from their childhood were old enough for them to blah, blah, blah. Right. Which by the way, that puts us in our '90s phase of our parents' life, which means fuck us. Like they had the best time in world history to be like, you know, at the peak profit creation of their life. Right. Like chances are the next like 15 to 20 years are where we start to like accrue enough capital to like get by into retirement. Like not going to be the same as what our parents had. Just no chance. It's like, this is not the '90s. Like, God damn it. Remember when they were like, hey, look, the pandemic's bad, but last time we had a pandemic, we had a roaring 20s. And here we are 4 years later, like, is it growling? Like, is it chirping or whatever those words are, that sound that tigers make?
Chuffing.
Chuffing. Chuffing?
Yes.
Can't
I think it's
chuffing.
Chuffing.
I'm going to write chuffing down just for fun. it's not chuffing.
I'm chuffed. That's a British term, isn't it? I'm chuffed.
Sure.
I think it is.
Yeah. Chuffed. Hung up and left chuffed. Rode hard and hung up chuffed. Anyways, so we're at the point where 90s is vintage.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So I see a lot of 90s stuff at vintage stores.
Okay.
And it's kind of cool. It makes me, I mean, even at the time I was like, okay, I'll try to identify the things that we're saving and hold on to them. I didn't know that, you know, a random NASCAR shirt was going to actually be worth $75.
It's like the first time I heard Nine Inch Nails on a classic rock station.
It is like a lot like that, but there's a monetization to it where you're like, I had all these things, right?
Right, right.
I have an idea for a 90s vintage store.
Do tell.
Play it again, jorts. All right, got you with a laugh.
I like it.
All right, man. Drive safe.
Cheers. All right, we got to play the outro.
Oh, shit. I almost stopped everything. All right. Wear your jorts next week. Jinko jorts.
Jinkos.
When a guy's banging you,
y'all let me in his damn house.
Come in the name of peace.
LMFAO.
So what in the world is this?
Is Kevin McCarthy a moron, and if so, why?
Why would you say something that stupid?
I come without explanations or solutions.
I'm a very sexy lady,
cat turd.
I will not suffer this harlot.
How great an anti-American Marxist.
Ted Cruz, go fuck yourself.
Read the news.
China is asshole.
God bless the United States.
Now this is podcasting.